series. Concert is free to attend, and also you can go in Boston or streaming on Zoom. And let's see the details here. So, Boston Festival of New Jewish Music. So, 7 to 9 o'clock tonight, the back room at the Boston Synagogue, 55 Martha Road in Boston. And to get tickets, let's see. So, I guess you go to either Ezekiel's Wheels website or eventbrite.com. They also have the tickets. Let's see what else it says. Boston Festival of New Jewish Music. That's probably the best way. See if they have... All right, so they also have Klezmer Institute, all one word, .org. That would be one way. And let's see if we have... for Klezmer... Ezekiel's Wheels, so ewklezmer@gmail.com is their email. I think klezmerinstitute.org is probably the best way. All right, WMFO Medford here at Tufts University, and this is The Voice Mobile. I'm your host, Joyce The Voice. Happy to be here with you today. All right, so...
Зашумели в саду, ели закачались от цветы, а
Okay, so I want to share with you something from this book called Timeless Patterns in Time, Hasidic Insights into the Cycle of the Jewish Year, adapted from the works of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Menachem M. Schneerson Shlita. So we are now in the month of Tammuz. So let's see what we have to learn about that. This was from Gimel Tammuz, and we're at Beit Chamiz, where the second day of Tammuz, the month. The prisoner who refused to be intimidated. In Likutei Diburim, the previous Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson of Lubavitch, describes the details of his imprisonment in 1927 by the Soviet authorities for his efforts to spread Judaism and Hasidism among his fellow Jews. These recollections are significant not only as historical record, but also because they reveal the inner spiritual dynamic of his imprisonment and redemption. From the beginning of his imprisonment, the previous Rebbe resolved that he would not be affected by the authorities who had imprisoned him. This resolution had implications beyond his commitment not to compromise in Torah observance. The previous Rebbe did not perceive the Soviet authorities as having any power at all. In his eyes, they were utter nothingness and void. He refused to cooperate under interrogation and responded to them with pride and integrity. Despite the physical discomfort and the blows he suffered at their hands, he was not intimidated, nor did he allow them to break his spirit. Who will teach whom? On Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, guards entered his cell and ordered him to stand. He refused. The guards explained that they had information for him and that the prison rules required that he stand to receive it. He again refused. They threatened to beat him, and when he did not obey them, they carried out their threat. This scenario was repeated 3 times. Before the last blows were administered, one of the exasperated guards told the Rebbe, "We'll teach you a lesson." The Rebbe responded, "The question is, who will teach whom?" Realizing that their attempts to intimidate him were ineffective, the Soviet authorities invited him into an office and informed him of his sentence, 3 years exile in Kostroma. On the desk before him, the previous Rebbe noticed his file. He saw that his sentence had actually been commuted. He had at first been condemned to execution. The second sentence suggested was 12 years hard labor, and only the final ruling, 3 years of exile, was delivered. The date was Thursday, the first day of Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. He was informed that he would be granted several hours at home. Then he would depart by train to Kostroma. He asked the prison authorities when he was scheduled to arrive in Kostroma and was told that he would arrive on Shabbos. He refused to go. One of the officials warned that if he did not comply with their orders, he would not be granted another opportunity to leave prison. He replied that he was prepared to stay in prison for as long as necessary. He would not travel on Shabbos. Shocked by the Rebbe's defiance, the authorities paused for consultation with leading government officials. After some hours, they agreed to detain him in prison over Shabbos and allow him to travel on Sunday, the 3rd of Tammuz. Our souls were never sent into exile. In preparation for his arrival, the previous Rebbe dispatched Rabbi Michael Dworkin to Kostroma. There, this trusted elder Hasid promptly collected the local Jewish children and established a cheder, a school. He also inspected the local mikveh and made it halachically faultless. Ironically, the very activities for which the previous Rebbe had been arrested were now being carried out with the knowledge and consent of the Soviet authorities. Before setting out for Kostroma, the previous Rebbe briefly took leave of his Hasidim, urging them to continue their efforts to spread the practice of Judaism. It must be made known to all the nations on the face of the earth that our bodies alone were banished into exile and subjugated to the dominion of the nations. Our souls were never exiled, nor were they subjugated to the nations. It must be publicly declared that no one can exert any influence whatever on our faith, on the Torah, on its mitzvahs, and on Jewish custom. A positive spiral of activity gathers momentum. This message, its impact heightened by the circumstances under which it was delivered, made a profound impression on the Hasidim. Shortly afterwards, on the 12th and 13th of Tammuz, respectively, the previous Rebbe was notified of his impending release, and in fact, released from exile entirely. As he himself later pointed out, this series of events indicated that the Soviet government had consented to his efforts to spread Torah observance. The previous Rebbe's imprisonment thus bore rich fruit, inspiring further efforts to spread our Jewish heritage. The positive effects of these events continue and are enhanced from year to year, as the commemoration of Yud Beis Tammuz encourages others to continue along the paths opened by the previous Rebbe. The lessons of the previous Rebbe's redemption is relevant in all situations. When a person resolves that all the obstacles to spreading Torah have no substance, and he perseveres in his commitment in the face of all difficulties, the truth of his resolution will be revealed to him. He will come to understand that the Torah, its mitzvahs, and the Jewish people are eternal, and that all the forces which appear to oppose them are temporary challenges. When one persists in one's efforts to spread Judaism, these obstacles will disappear. Moreover, even the opposing forces themselves will be transformed into influences which contribute to the dissemination of Torah, one redemption leading to another. The previous Rebbe's redemption on Yud Beis Tammuz led to his coming to the United States, a change in location that had two effects. On the one hand, being in America enabled him to disseminate Judaism and Hasidism without all the difficulties encountered in Europe. However, the American environment also confronted Hasidism with a challenge, that of maintaining the intensity of commitment aroused by a threat to one's existence when that threat no longer existed. The previous Rebbe withstood this challenge as well, initiating trailblazing activities which ultimately established America as a major Torah center for our people. With untiring optimism and perseverance, he opened up new frontiers in his efforts to disseminate the observance of Torah. His redemption on Yud Beis Tammuz was thus not a personal matter. It affected our entire people. As the positive effects brought about by this redemption continue and grow, we are able to see openly and not only appreciate on a spiritual plane that his redemption served as a preparation for the ultimate redemption which we will experience with the coming of Mashiach. May this take place in the immediate future. Just totally stunning. Power of resolution. Right, from the Timeless Patterns in Time, Hasidic Insights in the Cycle of the Jewish Year, adapted from the works of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Menachem M. Schneerson, Shlita. Right. Well, let's see. What did I have ready for us? Yes.
I know. Shine.
Okay, I want to share something from Kol Chevra. This is from the 18th Yortzeit of Reb Shlomo Karlbach. And this is something called Spin and Joy, written by Hannah Schaefer. She and her husband, Nassen, used to live in Sharon, and they were responsible for keeping the Chevra together. They used to make Shabbatonim at Kehillat Yisrael, schlep all the food and everything, and we used to have a wonderful time. It was amazing. They've made Aliyah. They're in Yerushalayim with their son and their grandkids. It's really lovely. So, he says, I went back there today. I realized I was having an anxiety reaction. I called Nassen. He is sometimes my spin doctor. He and I both learned it from Shlomo and often remind each other of the different ways to look at reality. He said, just imagine how lucky you are to be going back to the hospital, and this time you are doing Bikur Cholin, visiting the sick. How lucky you are. Last time you were at the hospital, you were sick yourself. I turned on the CD player in my car and listened to Shlomo singing. It's the 3 weeks, but I know that listening to Shlomo is different. The melodies were mostly Shabbos melodies. One of the great gifts Shlomo gave me was the ability to transform any moment with a nigun. That was one of Yitzhak's gifts. He would take any melody we sang and tell us to alter one note. Then he would close his eyes and drift in and out of memories and worlds. That's what happened to me. I listened deeply and the music went within. It opened memories and moments of joy and a higher sense of peace. Above the anxiety, I was transformed to another worldly place. Here in the melody, in the nigun, all was well. Shlomo was nearby. Hashem was surrounding us. That's what got me through moments of fear while I was in the hospital, looking at the prayer book as a flowing song sheet, underlining phrases, remembering Torah snippets, living in moments of rapture punctuated by visits from nurses, doctors, and the like. Now I sit here in recovery, no more stroke or severe heart issue. The strength I find for my recovery comes from a variety of things. One of my favorites is playing with my grandchildren. What a delight. The next is listening to Torah that Shlomo said as I prepare for classes to teach. A blessing and an honor. Taking care of people who cross my path and are interested in healing is a privilege which Shlomo blessed me with so many years ago. Talking to my children and my husband during each day or week is so important. Talking to my friends, having a full life. Shlomo blessed us with long days and long years. As some of us begin to pass through the straits and the rapids of aging, it's my blessing for us all. Let us remember the lessons of our teacher, friend, and Rebbe. Each moment is precious. Sometimes you have to close your eyes to see better. Singing a nigun can save your life. Each precious positive word we give each other can bring us back to life. And from our dear friend Itzchel, a kind word, a smile, a wave, a word of Torah, a wink, eating the thing they told you not to touch, just a little bit, a note sung better. He was Shlomo's chassid for sure. Let's grow old together. Remember the good times and create more and more and more. Spin and joy. This was an issue that was remembering Itzhak, who was a companion for Shlomo for many, many years and helped him record a lot of his nigunim. So this was in 2012. Right. So
may we be blessed, may we be blessed. Oh, hear our prayer. May we be known, may we be heard. Please hear our prayer. Ooh.
Everyone wants to know where I wrote this nigga. In the coziest place in the world, where there's a fire of truth burning at all times. The only place in the world that you could plug yourself in and recharge and recharge and recharge. I remember it was during Ella One Night Seder. I was learning in Silver Spring. I think it was a Thursday night. And I opened up the sliches. di 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 di
Okay, that was Eitan Katz from his Live in Jerusalem CD. The song is La Mancha. Before that, Neshama Karlbach, Shlomo's daughter, her CD called Believe, and the song is Hear Our Prayer. So, if you would like to help out with some non-perishable items, so the folks who have the food pantries, I have this from Belmont, but I'm sure any of the food pantries would be appreciative, those that accept non-perishable items. They like beef or chicken stew, chili, SpaghettiOs, canned fish or chicken, pasta all kinds, tomato sauce and paste, macaroni and cheese, canned and dry soup, canned vegetables, rice and grains, canned and dried beans, condiments, canned fruit, snacks, peanut butter and jelly, tea and coffee, hot chocolate, evaporated milk, juices, cereal, oatmeal, pancake mix and syrup, boxed mixes, and sugar and flour. Also, toiletries and household items that you could share with folks. Facial tissue or toilet paper, paper towels and napkins, toothpaste, toothbrush, shampoo and conditioner, feminine care items, liquid bar soap, shaving cream or razors, deodorant, dish and laundry detergent, and household cleaners. So this list was from the Belmont Food Pantry. They're at belmontfoodpantry.org. I'm sure any of the other pantries would also be very happy to get your help. So that's a nice thing that you can do. Okay, so got a few more minutes here before Chris comes in. And let's see, here we go.